To read from the word of the Lord with you from the book of Revelation. And I did a summer series, maybe 2 summers ago, on the 7 churches. So I'm going to read one of those and read from verse 7 to verse 13 in chapter 3, Revelation 3, 7 to 13. The letter to the church in Philadelphia. But what I'm not going to do this morning is do what I did in the summer, just speak about the churches around the world. Speak about a principle that's in here for this morning, so just a little different from what we did. So, read with me. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? It's interesting, the word angel in the Greek is the word angelos. And angelos does not just mean angel, it means messenger, because that's what an angel is, messenger. So, when you read angel, when you look at the Bible, you always see that people, the common sort of people, they are seraphim and cherubim, very different. The Bible speaks of them. Messengers, they just write in for us. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, like, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. When he opens, no one. And what he does, no one can open. So he puts this picture in the covenant. God has this. God can open, and God can shut. If God opens it, he can shut. God shuts it, he can open it. I know your deeds, Philadelphia. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. If you kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. And again, that word crown here is not diadem. In Greek, it's the word Stephanos, which is the crown that you receive after you have a marathon and you won that victor's crown. That's the crown that you speak of, and you will receive this victor's crown, and no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. 1,000 years, let them hear what the Spirit says. As I said, I'm not going to do the revelation thing for you. I'll give you the same thing for you, and then you can do the revelation thing. In a moment, if they don't put it up yet, I'm going to put a little image on the screen for you. When you look at the image, it's very simple. When I'm going to do what Jesus said to the guy who was alive and he couldn't move. He said, take your bed, back it up, and walk. Take my pulpit. Because it's just going to be easier, and there are folks in the back, so they can't see who's standing down there, so that's the reason I'm taking it up here. And for the image on the screen, it's a very simple image. And when you look at the image will remind us of how God works in this world. It is also an image that will challenge, and forgive the harsh words for a second, any laziness or indifference towards God's work in this world. But it is also a truth that if we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, we get that image that will remind me of how my life can be changed and be used by others in this world. So again, you want to put that slide up there. Just like the door. Very simple. Verse 8. I know your deeds, says the Lord, but I have placed an open door before you, which no one will be able to see. Let me just tell you a little something about Philadelphia, which will help us as we go into this open door. Philadelphia, Jesus' city, was destroyed by an earthquake, in some state. Philadelphia was also known as the portal. Or the door to the east, because it was one of the huge trade routes where all the trade and went into Europe. So, wonderful, wonderful city, cosmopolitan city, wonderful opportunities to go into Europe, this open door kind of thing. But Philadelphia was also one of those cities where the Christians were persecuted, like nothing else. You really lose something of that, if you remember the summer series I told you about this. In Philadelphia, the Jewish Christians were not allowed to go to the synagogue. The door was closed for them. They were not allowed to go worship God. They were kicked out. The other thing that happened in Philadelphia, like in many of those places, those cities there, those congregations, that happened with them too, if you were a Christian, you were kicked out from society. You were not welcome in all of the circles of society. There were trade guilds in the cities, and if you were not part of the trade guilds, you could not work or find work. And if you were a Christian, you were not allowed into those trade guilds, and you could not work and you could not provide for your family. So Philadelphia, the Christians in Philadelphia, knew all about doors that were closed where they could not open, physically closed. They were just completely. The problem is that God says, I know you, and I know your deeds. Hear the word, deeds. I know what you do. I know what you read the rest of that, that although it's hard, you've been strong, and you've kept on. And because of that, Philadelphia, this is what I'm going to do. I will open a door for you. And no one can close it. Not the synagogue door, not the society door, not the work door. I will open the door, which no one can close. And that's why we call this week. The Lord is God's open door to call us to work this world. To help us with that, I want to read three more passages from you. That just gives us a little idea of what it means when God speaks of open doors. You have those there. First one is in Acts chapter 14. So this is Paul and Barnabas. They're coming back. They do missionary work. They come back to Antioch. They meet with the church in Antioch. So arriving there, Paul and Barnabas gathered the church together. And they reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith. So look at this open door moment. Open door here is an image of God creating a space where missions can be done, where God's work can be done, where ministry can be done. Opportunities are given. Open door. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is Paul next speaking. So Paul says, I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. Because, here he comes, a great door for what? For effective work has opened to me. There are many who oppose me, so Paul says, again, there's opposition that's trying to push the door, but God opened the door to do what? Effective ministry. What was the first one? We're able to do ministry. Missions. Outreach. What is the second one? Ministry. Missions. Outreach. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I fell at the Lord and opened the door. What does it mean when God opens doors? And I know how we use this. Sometimes we think of God's open door as God doing good things for you. When God speaks of open door, God is always talking about ministry. Good morning, that's how you can leave it to the customer. When God speaks of open door, He always speaks of ministry and mission. Because here's the thing, let me explain this. When God looks at the world, God realizes that this world needs salvation. And God puts you on rescue mission into this world. And to do that, God provides us with opportunities and calls them open doors. Look at Philadelphia. Door to the synagogue is closed, the door to the society is closed, door to work is closed, everything is closed. But here's the door for you, Philadelphia. A door to do my work in ministry. A door to go and do my mission in this world. A door to be effective in your outreach, in your city. And close doors, and close hearts, and close lives, and be more dying. If the door for you, Philadelphia, go do that, and no one can close the door if you do that. What an amazing challenge that God puts out there. Because let me tell you what, we have no idea how hard it was to live in Philadelphia if we were a Christian. We have no idea. You couldn't just walk up to Scott and say, hey, Scott, how are you doing? Do you know that Jesus is Lord and I love him? It would cost you your life. You wanted to feed your wife and your children, and you did not keep quiet about being a Christian and hide that, you would not have a job and you would not feed your wife and your children. And you would starve to death. We don't get it because we don't live in a world of ourselves. We live in this amazing free place where I could say Jesus is my Lord, and that's fine. God says, I want you to be part of my mission. And we see this fight for that day. The reason for that is because God is in the business of opening doors. And these doors sometimes look a little bit better. There's one more slide there. There we go. There we go. And when God opens the doors, and you can go to the next slide, they come in different shapes and sizes and ways. So here's the challenge I'm going to put before you, because I always think, and I don't see here this one, so it's like giving me my friend by chance, because you have to make it practical. What does it look like when God opens doors? It can be as simple as this, Jennifer. You and I have spoken about this often. Where someday, I've been working with these folks a lot in my office, and I know that they don't believe. And they ridicule me, and they make it hard for me. And someday, if you spend with some one of the folks that I work with, they go through a real tough time, and things are hard in their life. And I could just become that person that comes next to them, and I don't have to say Jesus or God or God. I could just tell them, like Jesus. I can just lift two words from the Bible. I can just share the love of God and be there and walk with Him. And there's a power that opens because maybe when I'm going through this difficult time, they know that I love the Lord. I didn't even try to do anything like that. I just love them. I just walk with them. I just care for them. I'm conditionally. Maybe that's the door that God was waiting to open so that maybe the other person says, how'd you do that? How could you do that? Where does that come from? And there's the door. And no one can shut that door. It has to be open to listen to that. Maybe it happens. I wonder if it happened to you. See, I know this church did. This church happened. We see a lot of people. I know that half of you, they were just they drift around together, and they love together. And what if you're in your neighborhoods? Someone that you don't know, that doesn't come to church, that doesn't know God's people are living, needs his own time, you don't have it. Because when you won't come to, and what if you are the one that cannot come in order? And they completely stop and say, it's going to be a tough week. So, could they just do it and bring your Messiah tomorrow night? Could it make sense? He's going to take care of you. How can I help you? How can I help you? I need it to go on his own words. He's closing the business of opening doors. I need to give you more examples. Probably the one you know so well, but it's always one of the most amazing examples. Many moons ago, we were in a little place called Bridgestone. And it's so strange. And it started working in our hearts because what is the doors of that ministry? And through God's grace, we could send the first thing that we sent to the ritual center. Do you know what that was? Can anyone remember? We made pillowcases. And the children of the children's ministry put their little hands in the grave. They put them on those pillowcases so they looked fine. We sent them back in the case of the cold flu down to South Africa and you got this fire to keep them there. And then the pillowcases were pillows that they didn't have for me. We sent somebody to buy their house. Those are little kids who were sleeping on next to the young girls on the head of them. Orange and green, red and yellow and blue and eyes. And the poor kids on that. And something happened. And what opened the door and that place grew. It grew so much that so many of us could go. And we could physically go through. I think of that moment that I spoke about this morning. God, he does the most thing you can do in the world because he's deception. You know what he did there? He carried this big doorbox, little doorbox. And he grew it from their hands. Those hands that are so delicate and so crooked. Delicate. Now we're going to make this cool doorbox. The community can come to this school. The teachers who are there know the Lord, and the door opens because those kids are telling them about Jesus. And about God's grace to make them in this world. This door opens into a community that loves. And sometimes, this is what happens too. The door opens during a time of adversity. Because then all of a sudden, Satan didn't like the work that was being done, and people didn't like the work because they thought we were putting money in it, and they wanted money from Rachel, and there wasn't money. So they did everything in their power to close it down. They spread lies. They put poor Hilda, they arrested her for doing nothing wrong. Because they tried to close this, but God says, if I open a door, no one can shut that door. 2 years, God stood. Hilda came out and had to say, we missed out there. There was nothing wrong in this place. And that door that God opened even shorter. And children are still learning about Jesus Christ. Parents are getting to know Christ, and young people are growing up and going to university through what they're doing there, and coming back and changing lives in a community, because God said, there's an open door, and if you walk through the door, it will happen even through adversity. Do you remember in 2006, there was a shooting in the Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, where a man walked into the school and he shot 10 children, five of them died little. His kids had even died. Do you remember what those people did? They didn't get the TV cameras and their lawyers yelling about what they're going to do. The first thing they did was on that Sunday, because the person who killed the kids killed himself, they went to the family and So when God opens the doors, we need to walk through the doors. And when I wrote that, you know, I wrote the sentence for myself. Yeah, right. After because otherwise I can't speak, and if it doesn't talk to me first, right? I ask myself the question for everything. How many open doors do you miss? Maybe I ask myself, did you give a mess? Because the hope is yours, and we have to go through the door to get in the room. And I thought to myself, maybe I have to miss some of those doors because the little selfishness sometimes it's so difficult to reach. Give me this. To me, please open this door for me. And look at this, the doors that could have been opened for me, where I could have been so useful for God's rescue mission, where I could have been so useful for God's ministry, where I could have done something, where God could have done miracles, and I missed it because it was about me, and maybe I didn't feel like it. And maybe I wanted more for me. God opens the doors, He still needs us. Forgive me. You know, this is not a negative thing. I'm not so negative thing, so this is not negative. But we can't do it and still Christianity. Where we can still sinners, and we can still praise, and we can still worship. But that's where it ends. We come to worship because God is preparing us to go through the open doors that are waiting for us to do ministry and rescue work in the world. We come together to be fed so that we can go out. Not say, man, I'm so full, I have to go lie down and sleep now. No, because I'm so full, I have so much to give away now. Because where's God going to open the door? Show me, Lord. Give me those eyes to see the doors that you open. We need to walk through them. So maybe we need to be the excuse me. Use me, God's going to use you. And it might not necessarily be what you thought it was going to be. That door might open to a place where you kind of think, I don't want to go there. If I open the door, no one can shut it, says the Lord. You open the door. If you are open and prepared to give to the Lord and say, you open the door, I'll walk. Here's the thing about philosophy. When we go through these doors, three things will happen. And sorry, Gregory, I didn't ask your permission. Can I use you as an example? Do you know what I mean? When we go through these open doors, we will grow. Bring that answer to me. Before I went to the city and worked there, I didn't really know the moment. But once I was there, and I was doing this, we walk through the doors. We walk. God blesses the work. We will grow. Because I can envision how God can use me as an instrument in God's hand. And as long as I'm available, God can use me in that instrument to make the most beautiful sound in the world. And we might make it make that beautiful sound on the first place of the world. Because I see what Christ can do. try this, and I give God a chance, maybe things are coming alive. But the second thing that happens is that God comes alive. Does that make sense? People see God all of a sudden. They don't see me, they see God. Those little kids, they don't just see us. What do they see? They see God who's happening in their lives, and they say, wow, God is really there. God exists. God has hands and feet and eyes and a nose and ears. And he talks and he listens. And he does. Wow, God is alive. When we walk through the door that God opened, God comes alive. And we come alive. Because once you've tasted what it feels like when God uses you and takes you through an open door and you see God's miracles and what God can do, then you come alive. It's kind of, can you just give me another one of those doors, Lord? Let me loose. Let me do this. I'm kind of alive because I realize that I'm not just going to see me. I realize that I'm going to see me. And the Holy Spirit of God, which is a burning fire. We are so many that we can just go walk through. One of the doors we walk through is my first place. It's not about this place again. But we serve community. It's not difficult. You go, put on a paper, and you serve people. And if you work, you serve them. No one happens. We go. God comes out. And we can go. I think we can change these words. Go to the angel of the church in the central. Come say to your people, I notice you. I know you're here. So here's the thing open doors to you. No one is there. Because no one can shut you. Amen. We're going to take a few moments of silence.